Never, never, never does Jesus let you down. Male or female, if you're in the bride, His wine, His always forgiving, always supplying wine never runs out. That's one of the glories being revealed in this passage.
In this second sermon on the wedding at Cana in John 2, John Piper explores the wonderful love of Christ for His bride. This sermon was originally preached at Bethlehem Baptist Church on December 14, 2008.
Even though he rebuffs his mother's request by saying, "My hour is not yet come," he goes right ahead and does the miracle. So it seems to me, lots of others, that what Jesus is doing here is saying no to the climactic hour of his death, and then yes to a symbolic parable of what it will involve. I won't give you my death now, I'll give you a sign of my death. I won't purify sins now, but I will fill up jars of purification with wine now to point you to where we're going. He tells the servants to fill purification jars. They didn't choose this. He chose this. They weren't used for drinking. This must have caused them, sure, they don't know what's going to happen once the jar is filled. His mother said, "Do what he says, we'll do what he says." And then they must have furrowed their brow when he said, "Dip some water out of the bathtub and take it to the maitre d'." So he chose to put the wine in the vessel designed to make people pure. I don't think that's an accident on his part or on John's part to tell us. This is Jesus' second way of manifesting his glory by giving us a sign, an acted out parable of his own death and his own blood and what it would mean. He would be the final, decisive, ultimate purifier for sins. Ritual cleansing is over. Read the book of Hebrews. All Jewish ritual cleansings are over because the final decisive wine blood has been shed and there is no more any ceremonial cleansing. We'll never in this church do anything remotely close to trying to do ceremonial ritual cleansings here. We have one sign, baptism, and we have one meal, the cup and the bread. We will obey Jesus on those two points. And keep in mind this, Revelation chapter 7 verse 14 says, "They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." You want to get inside John's head, read the Revelation, read the Epistle, and read the Gospel. You make things white with the color wine. Finally, the glory of an all-providing bridegroom. Now, what are you seeing here? Jump ahead with me to the last words of John the Baptist in chapter 3, verse 29. John 3:29. One last time, John the Baptist extols the superiority of Jesus. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, and I must decrease. So his last praise to the superiority of Jesus is to say that he's the bridegroom and he has the bride, the church. The ever-growing assembly of disciples. They're all going to him now, not to me anymore, because he's the bridegroom. And they're all streaming to him. And the first miracle that Jesus does is to take the role of the all-sufficient, all-providing, never-failing bridegroom. Let me show you. Let's read verses 9 and 10. What you're going to see now, watch for it, in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2, is that the groom, not the head steward or maitre d' or main servant, the groom is responsible for this wine running out and being supplied. And which wine he chooses to keep for last and keep for first. The groom is making these choices. Watch for that. When the master of the feast, not the groom, but the head waiter, when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and then when people, you know, are a little bit tipsy, and they can't tell whether it's good or not, then they serve the poor wine. Because nobody could tell. But you have kept the good wine until now. What's the point there? Well, one point is this. This bridegroom blew it. That's not true. You have kept the good wine until now. He didn't. He doesn't. He blew it. Jesus made the wine, not the groom. This man is just like every husband in this room. We fail. You were supposed to get at the store. And in 100 other ways more serious. We're just a bunch of failures. It's what we are. Sinner husbands, sinner grooms. We'll leave the women for another time. Just sinner grooms who let the wine run out. So that the real groom has to step up and never fail. Never, never, never does Jesus let you down. Male or female, if you're in the bride, his wine, his always forgiving, always supplying wine never runs out. That's one of the glories being revealed in this passage. The rest of us men, you're not impressive. But Jesus, he's impressive. He can take water and meet the need for wine. And do 100 other miracles in your life if you would just count on him. Instead of running to Moab, trading your God for grain. Well, let me sum up. As an obedient son of God, he is not swayed by family ties, not Mary's and not yours. I don't care what family you come from, you got no in with Jesus, nor any exclusion from Jesus on the basis of your family connections. It is irrelevant. He is swayed by one thing. When sinners, husbands, wives, children, old, young, despair of pedigrees and trust in grace. Would you join me in despairing If you try to think that you are commended in any way to God or Christ but by grace, you won't know him. He doesn't deal like that. His own mom had to learn it so painfully. Faith, not family. Grace, not pedigree. Lean on him and nothing else. As the ultimate purifier, he's not moved by religious ritual, cleansing buckets, or anything else you may try to do by way of ritual to get yourself ready to see him or to meet him or to make yourself a little cleaner, a little better, a little more acceptable. Got some rituals you do before you come to church, right? Put some mints in your mouth so that nobody smells the smoke or the alcohol, or what are we, all these little rituals that we do to make ourselves just a little more acceptable to each other. They won't work. Just forget it. There is one way to be pure before God. It was the hardest way for Jesus, and it's the easiest way for you. Wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb. That is, come to him. Live in him. Finally, as an all-providing bridegroom, he never, never fails to meet all our needs. My God will supply all your needs. Our all-providing bridegroom, who loves the church and gave himself for her, will never withhold anything from her that she needs. This life-giving wine of his death in our place never runs out. He is the perfect, all-providing husband for his church. So I close with Revelation 19:7. It goes like this. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. Glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and she, his bride, has made herself ready. Closing question. Have you made yourself ready? I know it's an odd way to say it, just a quote from Revelation. Have you made yourself ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready? That is, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's the only way to make yourself ready, is to realize you can't make yourself ready. And to let him make you ready. Just get under the fountain. Right? Get under the fountain. That means come to Jesus. You don't move a muscle in coming to Jesus. It's all in here. I come. I now receive the fountain. I now accept the cleansing. I now turn away from my reliance on my pedigree. I want you. I need you. You're my only hope. You don't move a muscle when that happens. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you have the perfect purifier, the obedient son, the all-providing husband? Let's pray. Gracious Father, I love you and I love Christ. Because I need a purifier. I need to be reminded again and again and again that more than I need water to wash my body, I need blood to cleanse my sin. I turn away from Bill Piper and Ruth Piper, my mom and my dad, and Elmer and Emma Piper, from Irma Moan and Winfield. I turn away from them and any benefit I may have had from them, I do not count as ingratiating me with you. Grace alone, grace alone. And we receive your care as the great lover of the church who died for us, so that whether we live or whether we die, we might be yours. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen.
This is Light and Truth, God-centered preaching to help you see Christ clearly and treasure Him truly. I'm your host, Dan Kruver. Thank you for listening. On our next episode, John Piper continues our series, Behold the Glory of Jesus, with a sermon titled, Our Eternal Meeting Place. I hope you'll join us. For more resources, visit desiringgod.org.